All right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're going to kick things off with a tribute to Phil Donahue, passed away earlier this week. Spent some time in Chicago, about 10 years of his 29 years as the Phil Donahue Show. And what you just heard was a little bit of Phil, a little bit of Dean, with a segment put together by Mike Lowe from WGN-TV. It was back in 2020 that I last spoke to Phil Donahue. It was along with his wife, Marlo Thomas. It was during 2020, and it was actually the second or third month of the lockdowns that were going on, so they referenced that a little bit in this conversation. But in tribute to him, I want to share that chat that we had back in 2020. Here's Phil Donahue, the late Phil Donahue, and Marlo Thomas.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
yes.
David.
Yeah, we're very excited. 40 years is quite a milestone.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. You know, Marlo, after 40 years, is this truly the first big project you have worked on together?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, we never wanted to work together. Well, honey, would you like to explain why we're type A personalities?
Well, yeah, we just bump into each other. So we've always shied away from that.
Gotcha.
We thought, because our personalities are so different, that, you know, we're both type A's, so that was something that maybe we'd butt heads about. But also, he's so laid back, and I'm so, like, jump to the phone impulsively. So we thought maybe we'd drive each other crazy. But in fact, it worked out. Him being more laid back and me being more impulsive, we balance each other out just the way we do in our marriage. So it actually did work out well.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Well, you both write in this book, you both write, what makes a marriage last is how you behave when you're confronted with the really, really big things in life. And this is a big thing, being sequestered at home together. I would assume this has been the perfect test in all this, right?
Right.
I think a lot of people probably aren't doing well. I mean, it certainly brings out the best or the worst in you, you know. And we've been reading articles. We don't know anybody ourselves personally, but we've been reading articles that a lot of people are having a rough time. We have not had a rough time.
No, we've been getting along pretty well. I mean, you know, I'm entertained just by watching her. She's a water bug. She goes four different ways at once, and two telephones and a computer. So
you're calling me a water bug, you said.
Yeah.
I'm a multitasker.
You're a multitasker.
Right. I've always been one, but he's not usually right around all the time watching me do it. So I'm glad, because sometimes he's not quite sure what the heck I'm doing, but now when he's seen it all in context, I'm glad that he appreciates it rather than annoys him.
Sure. But
we've been having fun. We've been cooking together. And
right, I do the laundry. all my underwear is pink.
And then we've also been watching movies, and we had popcorn.
Yeah, she brings popcorn to the movies. So, I mean, these little things, you know, they certainly help.
Absolutely.
So we've been having a good time. We're also fortunate that we have each of our own workspace in our apartment. I think we do know a couple of couples who don't have their own workspace. My friend is a writer, and his wife works outside the home. So he's at home usually writing. Now she's home too, and they're both on the phone, and they're both, you know, trying to write, and they're, you know, they're in each other's earshot. So they're having a rougher time than we're having an easier time, because we have our own workspaces.
Yeah, you do need a little separation to have some independence for yourself, and this has been a true, true test. Phil, after 40 years together, have you learned something new about Marlo?
I really am. I guess I've always known this, but I've never had a front row seat to it. She really is very resourceful. My goodness. I mean, she can do so many things at once. Yeah. I'm totally with her modus operandi. She's really, she can really do three or four things at once, and I can't get over that. I'm watching, like, in awe.
Well, he's very, you know, he is Mr. One Thing at a Time, but that's good, because he focuses everything on that, and that's a good thing. I think that we've learned a little bit more about how to How to Fight Better from the book. Yeah, James Carville gave us a bit of advice that's really working. Tell him about that.
Yeah, James Carville says when you find yourself going around and around arguing about some kind of Mickey Mouse issue, the best thing to do is kick that can down the road. And we've actually tried it, and it works. I mean, you...
He said it to me one day, about a month or so ago, going around and around on an unresolvable thing, you know, and one of those dumb things, like, you said you were going to do this, but you didn't, but you said, you know, that stuff, going around and around. And finally, he said to me, oh, let's just kick this can down the road. And we both started laughing, and we thought, you know what, it's true. What's the point of this? It's just such a silly argument, and you go around and around, you get kind of caught in it, like being inside of a washing machine. You just can't stop turning around and around. And it kind of liberated us. And also something that I learned from the book is that instead of thinking you're going to change somebody and instead of being resentful that you have to compromise on something, a better way to look at things is to accommodate the other person's differences.
You're listening to my conversation from 2020 with the late Phil Donahue and his wife, Marlo Thomas. Phil passed away earlier this week, and we'll continue that conversation next on 720 WGN. All right, we're going to continue our conversation with the late Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas. Phil passed away earlier this week as we celebrate his legacy. Day player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas on the brand new book, What Makes a Marriage Last? Marlo, you talk about giving the gift of time to your spouse and how important that is every day, whether it's a walk, going out for dessert, an impromptu date night, whatever it is, that gift of time is so important.
Right, and also, you know, sometimes we're working really hard, each of us in our workspace, and it'll be time to have lunch. And often we'll eat separately because he's rushing and I'm rushing. But one of the things that being quarantine like this has done for us is that we're having our three meals together. We're fixing them together and we're having them together because neither one of us is rushing to get out of the house to get to some meeting. And that's been, I think, very beneficial to us as a couple. We were just talking about this a couple of days ago, that we really do believe that working on the book and talking about the book after having worked on it has made our marriage stronger.
That's critical, and that's great, because you probably explored a little bit, a little deeper into your marriage that you probably didn't take a moment in time. You say you're both type A, you're both always working. You know, you actually took the time to sit down and think this all through, and that probably was very therapeutic.
Yeah. Very much so.
Right. And we found that a common feature of almost most of the marriages that have lasted. These are people with their eyes wide open. They know that life is not going to be clear sailing, and somehow they were able to adjust to whatever valleys may have presented.
And they went to therapy. Man, we had a lot of couples in the book.
Yeah, I read
went
that.
To couples therapy. Brian and his wife, Robin Dearden, and Brian Cranston said an interesting thing. He said, you know, if you get a warning light in your car, you don't pull over and look under the hood and try to fix it. You take it to an expert. He said, if you get a warning light in your marriage, why in God's name would you think you're going to fix it yourself? Go talk to some expert, not as a referee, but as an interpreter, as somebody who can help you say, oh, that's what you meant by that. Oh, this is what she meant when she said that. Or when she did that, or he did that.
Who made the point about it's more complicated to break up than
Elsa Walsh, who's married to Bob Woodward? She said, "I don't understand this impulse for disruption." You know, she said, "All the energy you put into getting a divorce and getting, you could put all that energy back into the marriage, and you'd get there."
Absolutely, absolutely. You also talk about the fact that a good marriage is when both people aren't in a state of panic or going crazy at the same time, and that in and of itself could be challenging. I mean, because that does happen. There's moments in life that does happen.
Absolutely. One person gets panicked and the other person catches it. It's very contagious.
And here we're celebrating 40 years this week, and you met, and I have to bring this up, you met here in Chicago, of course. I'm in WGN Radio downtown Chicago, but over on Bradley Place, you know, you met on stage pretty much in front of millions of people.
We sure did. And people are always hitting us and telling us that they saw that show. I've also said to Phil, if everybody saw that show that says they did, you must have had 100 share that day. But we've been hearing from people today. Michelle Obama gave us a thrill. She just tweeted us a congratulations on our 40th anniversary. And a lot of people answered that tweet by saying, oh, I remember the day they met each other on the show. And I thought that was funny.
Wow. People remember. People remember. Well, I will tell you, I got one quick story for you before I let you go. I was born in 67, so I was attending a Bozo show in Chicago, and had to use the restroom. A page took me there. When I came out, there was no page, so I started walking down that long hallway and past the studio towards Studio 2, and there was a white-haired guy that said to me, "Where are you headed?" And I said, I'm trying to get back to the Bozo show. And he said, "What's your name?" I said, "David, Mr. Donahue." I knew who he was. My mother watched him every day. And he walked me back, walked me into the studio. My mother said, "Thank you." You got a little round of applause from the people in the audience. That was our historic meeting, Phil, almost over 40 years ago.
Well, so thank you for remembering.
Well, you know, that's so typically Phil, daddy of four boys. He's always worried about kids on the street, wherever they are. We'll be in the park, and he'll say to some little kid, "Where's your mom? Where are you going?" He's always very conscious of kids that could have escaped their parents.
That's great.
Poor little boys. Well, that's a lovely story, David.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. If there was one piece of advice that you guys would give a couple who are about to get married, let's say, because you very clearly say one of the most honest and prolific messages in this book is there's no secret to a lasting marriage. There's millions, and you got to keep looking for them. But if you were going to give some advice, I'll start with you, Marlo. What would you give?
Well, I guess I would say accommodate the differences of your spouse, and don't try to change them. Judy Vior said, the wonderful writer said to us, you know, she said, no matter how hard you try, he's never going to be you, and you're never going to be him. So start with that, and then just accommodate all these other differences and see them as this is this guy, this is this woman. She, he are different from you. And I think, to me, that's a lot of what I've had to learn. I didn't used to accommodate Phil. I wanted him to do this my way or do this thing that he didn't want to do. And I'm getting over that, finally, after 40 years, realizing. Accommodate him. Let him be. Let him be that person.
How about you, Phil? What would you
say? Avoid wars.
Okay.
I'd say avoid wars. Wars are what happens when you let a very minor issue take off and become a major issue. You know, it's amazing the energy you save, the goodwill you preserve, and anticipate the valleys, that no such thing as a smooth sailing marriage. Things are going to happen, and the ones who last are the ones who anticipate the valleys, deal with them, and keep on keeping on.
So many great stories and conversations in Phil and Marlo's new book, What Makes a Marriage Last, available wherever books are sold. And we only scratched the surface here, but how fun sharing some of the stories in this great new book with all of us.
Thank you, David.
And a happy anniversary to you both.
Thank you, David.
Bye-bye.
And that was Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue. Great marriage advice from an interview I did with them in 2020. Phil Donahue passed away earlier this week. And not only a legend in Chicago, but a legend in broadcasting.